Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and a very blessed Advent to you and yours. Hope it is proceeding well for you. It's a special season of prayer for us, and maybe you have taken on some prayer obligations, or maybe you intended to take on some prayer obligations and haven't quite got to it. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about prayer today in Advent, and we have the perfect guy to do it with us. Matthew Leonard is an internationally renowned speaker, author, podcaster, filmmaker, and the host of the worldwide smash hit Bible and the Virgin Mary video series. He hosts a very popular podcast on iTunes titled The Art of Catholic, which is heard in more than 170 countries around the world. Matthew Leonard holds a master's degree in theology from Franciscan University at Steubenville, and he's written a couple of books, Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic, and Prayer Works, Getting a Grip on Catholic Spirituality. Matthew Leonard, thank you for being with us.
It is my pleasure, Cy. Thanks so much for having me.
You would almost think from the things that you write that prayer is an important part of the Catholic life.
It better be, because I'm spending a lot of time doing it. It really is. You know, it's essential to our lives of prayer. And really, this is something that I think that has been hammered home to me as a convert, especially. So I was a pastor's kid. And I had prayer, I think, I thought I had it nailed down as a Protestant, but the Catholic life has kind of taken it to a whole new level for me. And one of the things that I've realized as a Catholic, that we're made to pray. We are made to be in union with God. And if we're not entering into a conversation with him, we can't become like him again. And this is something that's just part and parcel of our movement toward him. If the end goal is to be unified with him in heaven, we better start that unification process right now. And that's really what prayer is.
Wow. Okay. So I can start now. I it's funny because I suppose if there's a certain way of looking at the Catholic faith that says really all that, and I'm not saying that this is the correct way of looking at the Catholic faith, but probably one that many people hold and have held through the decades and centuries, that the hard work all gets done after I leave this mortal coil. I try to live a good enough life that I will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And then purgatory is when all that hard work of getting me cleaned up and ready happens. What's wrong with that way of thinking?
Oh, man, if I had a nickel for every time I heard a Catholic say, all I have to do is make it to purgatory, you know, and everything's going to be okay. You know, St. John of the Cross, first of all, you don't want to go to purgatory. St. John of the Cross says the purgatory is worse than 1,000 deaths. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. And one of the ways in which we not avoid purgatory, so to speak, but the way that we change our what it means for us in the afterlife is through joining ourselves to God now. So, in fact, getting to purgatory, Cy, is really kind of like the dark night of the soul that John of the Cross talks about, okay? And is really purgatory on earth, in a sense. Oh. So we're united with the cross of Christ, mm-hmm. right? And if you don't do it now, we're going to do it later. And that's really what purgatory is. Well, the way that we unite ourselves to the cross of Christ now, one of the ways anyway, is through the life of prayer. So prayer changes the entire trajectory of the spiritual life and helps us to do all those things now that we don't want to have to do after we die, because it really shapes our heart and forms it to be more like God's, so that we want the things of God now. And then we have a much easier time of it through this life and a much easier time of it in the next life.
What's the goal then? If I'm praying, and we want to talk about kind of revitalizing our prayer life here in Advent, but also in the coming year, maybe people will make, you know, New Year's decisions about prayer life. What am I trying to do if I'm trying to improve my prayer life?
Well, that's a great question. It really, the goal is God, right? I think all too often we get caught up in our breviaries and our rosaries and our litanies, and all of these things are wonderful. They're all good. They're all necessary. But sometimes I think we lose the forest for the trees, because we focus on these things that are really meant to move us toward God and into what actual prayer is. Because the goal is God, and prayer for us is the movement of our heart toward God. That's what all of these things that we do are really ordered to. So, the breviary is great. I do it. I pray the rosary every day. But really, those are means to an end. And the end is perfection, as Christ mm-hmm. says in Matthew 5:48. It's to be like God. So that's the goal at the end of the day.
Wow. Lofty goal. But that in truth, that's, as you said, that's what we're made for. So all the kind of things that we might do in our spiritual life, they are rooted in prayer because what?
Well, they're rooted in prayer because prayer is what makes us like God. I think a lot of times we have discussions about how we're made in the image and likeness of God. And there's certainly an aspect of that that's true, but there's also a sense in which it's not true. So Adam and Eve are made in the image and likeness of God, but through sin, they lost their likeness. And so we don't have that, and we're trying to get that back again. And that's really kind of what the Catholic life is all about. Well, the Catechism says that prayer is what restores man to God's likeness. So yes, combined with the life of the sacraments, but prayer is what makes us like him again. So if the end goal is we're supposed to be with God forever and we become part of that divine family, we begin that family resemblance process now.
And are there different kinds of prayer?
No, there are lots of different kinds of prayer. Of course, anyone who's read the Catechism, which again is a great point to make. If you've never read the Catechism before, my suggestion is always you go to the fourth section, which is on prayer, read through that, and then pray your way through the rest of the Catechism.
Oh, okay. So get your tips first on how to pray.
Absolutely, because it's really a beautiful section of the Catechism. I love it. It's my favorite part. And when you read through it, you see that there are different forms of prayer, like blessing and praise and adoration, petition, intercession, etc. And we have these different forms of prayer because the way that we pray changes depending upon our situation in life. So if I was flying out to where you are, Si, on the West Coast, and you know Captain Bob came on the speaker and said, hey, prepare for a crash landing because we're going down, I'm not praying for a raise at work. I'm praying for salvation, right?
Yes.
And then once I get back on the ground, I'm thanking God. I'm praising him for the salvation that he brought about in my life. So our prayer changes depending upon our situation in life. But there are also three bigger kind of universal modes of prayer, so to speak, that the forms of prayer operate in, and they're vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer. And those are, I think if more Catholics understood about particularly meditative and contemplative prayer, we'd be living in a very different church.
Okay, so help us with it then. Vocal seems self-explanatory.
Sure. I mean, vocal is the one we're most familiar with because you go to Mass and you pray vocally, and we're taught all kinds of vocal prayers from the get-go. But really, vocal prayer, while it's something that you never leave behind in the spiritual life, the Catechism says is an essential element of the spiritual life, of the Christian life. Really, what happens as you grow in the spiritual life, the way you communicate with God changes. And meditative prayer is really kind of the nuts and the bolts of the Catholic spiritual life in a lot of ways, because it's how we reacquire that likeness to God in large part that I was talking about previously. And this is something, frankly, Si, that most Catholics don't do. We don't know how to do it. Maybe we confuse it with Eastern mysticism or Buddhism, where people are trying to empty their minds and all the rest of it. That's completely the opposite of Catholic meditation. Catholic meditation is really trying to fill our minds up with God so that we can become more like him. And it's so important and it's so vital to the spiritual life that St. Alphonsus Liguori says that short of a miracle, a person who does not enter into meditative prayer will end up in mortal sin. So we don't want to do that.
No. So I guess the question is, all right, it's really important that I do this. What am I doing when I'm doing it? How am I entering into meditative prayer?
Well, this is one of the things that I love to teach people. And I have a free cheat sheet that's available on my website at MatthewSLeonard.com. It's called 8 Ways to Jumpstart Your Prayer Life. And it really is kind of a cheat sheet on Catholic meditative prayer.
Okay.
So you can head over and grab that there. But really, there are 5 basic steps. And there are lots of books out there where people put out all kinds of different methods and all the rest. My biggest piece of advice is to people who have never particularly entered into Catholic meditative prayer is to just keep it simple, right? And there are 5 basic steps that are universal. The first is so practical. You pick a good time and a good place, right? It's got to be quiet. It shouldn't be the bar on Monday night when you're trying to watch the football game. It shouldn't be a bridal shower. It's got to be a good time that you set aside for just you and God. And then you move into the second step, which is recollection. And this is frankly, I think for not just beginners, but I think for just about everybody, this is the hardest part about prayer, because we're trying to quiet down our interior life. And we're so bombarded with this, that, and the other from the exterior world that we've got to quiet everything down and realize that we're in the presence of God, right? God Almighty.
Yes.
And then you move into the actual meditation. And this is where you take your book or rosary or whatever it is that you are using to meditate. And actually, let me throw inside just the baseline definition here. All meditation really is attentive reflection on God that's aided by some kind of a spiritual input. That's all it is. And typically that input is a book. So we'll use that. God can use all kinds of different things. But generally speaking, that's what we use. And that book is our input into a conversation with God. And so we meditate on the words of sacred scripture. And if something pops out at us, we stop, right? And the Lord perhaps is speaking to us. And this is where you move to the next step, which is you're responding to what the Lord is telling you as you're reading this passage slowly. That's another key. You want to move through things in a meditative manner. And then you resolve to act on what it is the Lord shows you. Maybe the Lord shows you need to be more charitable to a particular person, or there's a vice you need to work on, or whatever. But prayer is always ordered toward action. You know, we don't put on the mind of Christ just to think differently. We put on the mind of Christ so as to act differently. And that's why it's always ordered to.
And then, of course, comes contemplation. But I want to devote some time to what that is. So we covered a little bit about vocal prayer, a little bit about meditation or meditative prayer. And next comes contemplation. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back to do that with our guest, Matthew Leonard, on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice is our new radio show for young adults.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the young church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Their testimonies bring faith and power into the lives of everyone who listens.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. The spiritual awakening continues Saturday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Talking about jump-starting your prayer life here as we approach the climactic days of the Advent season, Christmas itself being one of the great climaxes of the liturgical year, the day we remember the coming of the Lord among us, that we remember the motherhood of Mary giving birth to the Lord, the Mother of God, all the Holy Family gathered there. And you know all the people, like the shepherds. Who else is there? The three wise men, but that's a little bit later, and you know the whole thing. So it's a wonderful time of year because the Lord makes himself so vulnerable, a little baby. The question is, can we accept him? Can we pick him up and hold him and love him in that form so that we'll be able to follow him as disciples? And one of the ways in which we do that today, now, in this life that has been so transformed by his coming is to pray. And so we're talking with Matthew Leonard about getting that prayer life moving again, if it has reached a state of pause, or maybe doing things that you have never done in prayer before. Matthew Leonard is the author of Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic, and Prayer Works, Getting a Grip on Catholic Spirituality. You can find him at MatthewSLeonard.com. And so you were mentioning to us the three types of prayer. The vocal prayer, which we're all familiar with, meditative prayer, which you said is the heart of the Catholic prayer life, and that, in your view, most Catholics don't know about it or don't know that that's what they're called to do.
Yeah, you know, it's when you read spiritual giants like Saint Teresa of Avila, and you like her famous work, The Interior Castle.
Yeah.
And she talks about, so she has a vision. She's a 16th century Spanish mystic, and she has this vision from our Lord where she sees the human soul as this crystal globe that's filled with seven different mansions. And the way you get into the interior castle, according to Teresa, is through meditative prayer. So yeah. She zeroes in on it. And this is a doctor of the church. I mean, she knows exactly what she's talking about. In fact, I think the last three mansions are really devoted to meditative prayer. So it's something that every Catholic needs to do. And it's not something you wait until later to do. This is something that even beginners in the spiritual life need to enter into and engage in right now, because it's how we draw close to our Lord.
But then there is what we Catholics call contemplation. And this is a thing of a different order. Can you tell us about the third form of prayer, contemplation?
Yeah, contemplation is kind of it's the final plank in your ladder to God, the final rung in the ladder to God. Because what happens in contemplation, it's a whole different kind of relationship with God at this point. So in vocal prayer and meditative prayer, the onus is kind of on us, right? Obviously, everything's by the grace of God, but we're the ones who are doing something. So if, for instance, in meditation, you're reading, you're thinking, you're pondering. What happens in contemplation is of a completely different order, because it's something that God does to us. And so he starts to grab a hold of us and draw us closer to him. And there's a sense in which we can't do anything. We call it infused contemplation, which is taken from the Latin word infusum. So that which is poured in, mm-hmm. or to pour in. So God is literally beginning to pour himself into us, kind of like, you know, an ocean being poured into a thimble. And it freaks a lot of people outside. It's very interesting, because there are little mile markers that you can look to when you get to this stage of the spiritual life and you're realizing that God is starting to pull you toward contemplation. And again, this is all an organic, lifelong process. But maybe you've had this experience where you're meditating on sacred scripture and you just have the urge to kind of put your Bible down and stare at the Blessed Sacrament if you're in an adoration chapel, or just, you know, interiorly in your heart, you just focus in on Jesus. This is one of the little cues or one of the little mile markers that God is beginning to move you into a different kind of a prayer life. And if you don't have a kind of an understanding of what's happening, oftentimes we will squash this, and we don't want that to happen, because contemplation, while we may not reach the highest stages of contemplation like the great mystics of the church, contemplation is still something that is for every Catholic, and it's really the natural end of our prayer lives.
So now that's the part that strikes me. It's for every Catholic, contemplation. I mean, you think of it as being for saints or something.
People are like, only the saints pray. This is how people become saints, by having a deep and holy prayer life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, to you, Si, but you have a deep and holy prayer life. That's how you move toward the heights of sanctity. And again, if becoming one with God, becoming a partaker of the divine nature of God, as 2 Peter 1:4 says, if that's the end goal, mm-hmm. then becoming like him in contemplative prayer, where he begins this process of pouring himself into you right now, if that's what contemplation is, that's what we should be moving toward here on earth. It's not just something for later. It's for every Catholic now.
So you say, I can't do it for myself. Only God can do it, because it's him pouring himself into you. And you can't do that. You can't make him do that. So a couple things. One, it's a kind of faith. You have to have faith that he really wants to do that. And where do you get that faith?
You get the faith from the other things in the spiritual life that we're supposed to do. So you engage primarily in meditative prayer. Meditative prayer is what prepares us, right? So we can't make it happen, but we can show God the desire that we have for deeper union with him in contemplative prayer through our meditation. And of course, practicing a life of virtue. And I think when you step back and you look at it and you remember that God is Father, if that's who he is in and of himself, then why wouldn't we believe that he wanted to enter into this kind of a depth of relationship with us? I mean, I have six kids. I want to be as close to them as I possibly can be. My oldest is 16. I'm mourning the day when she walks out the door to go to college. I want to have as deep a relationship with her as I possibly can. Well, God the Father takes that and he puts that on steroids because he wants to be one with us. We're created by God and for God, says the catechism. So he wants to be close with us in a way that we can't even fathom. And that's why he invites every one of us to contemplation. And he wants it to happen to us more than we want it to happen.
We're talking with Matthew Leonard about prayer and jumpstarting your prayer life. So right now we're getting an understanding of how the Catholic Church understands prayer. Okay, so if contemplation then is this gift that God gives and that we await that gift, like how long would you say I've got to do vocal prayer and meditation, like 20 years or something? Like it seems so grand. Like, was this a lifetime commitment? What am I getting into?
No, you're absolutely right. This isn't something that happens overnight. Just like we mature in the natural life, where we move from spiritual infancy into adolescence and then into adulthood, it's the same thing in the spiritual life. So there's a progression that happens here. And these stages of prayer, vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer, are a kind of a ladder of maturation or a ladder of perfection. And they really kind of overlay something else, Si. They overlay what we call in the Catholic tradition the three stages of the spiritual life. So they kind of go together. And this is something when I travel and speak, maybe 5 to 6% of Catholics, I ask, you know, raise your hand if you ever heard of this. And most never have. The stages of the spiritual life are basically this. They're called the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive ways, right? And I know mm-hmm. those are big words, and you're like, what? You know, what is this? These are basically the stages of perfection that we go through. And again, they're very natural. They're like the progression we go through in the natural life. Well, the three universal modes of prayer, vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer, kind of overlay that growth in the overall spiritual life. And as you said, It's a lifelong process. This is not something you just, you know, kind of jump in and out of. We are moving toward God, and this life is our proving ground. So depending on which kind of spiritual author you read, and there are different kind of variations on a theme here. Some authors will say, some of the spiritual giants will say that you move into contemplation as you are moving into and transitioning into the second stage of the spiritual life, the illuminative way. Others will place it in other places as well. But it goes part and parcel with our movement toward God, this whole road that we travel to get to that one spot for which we're made, which is what the three stages are ordered to.
You know, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking, well, you know, person who's not a Catholic listening, maybe a Protestant Christian, is maybe thinking, well, you know, what I've been taught or the way that I live is, you know, I go to church, I try to live a good life, but the primary thing is I have faith in Christ, and I await my death and being drawn into heaven with him. I didn't know it has all these. There's so much stuff to do in this life, or maybe I'm not attracted to this idea. I like the idea of no, it's just faith alone. Is this? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, what do you say to the person that says that?
Well, it's a completely different mentality as a Protestant. We have a different view of our salvation. And so we view Christ, this is going to get into some maybe complicated waters, but we view what Christ did on the cross as Catholics as a representative sacrifice. So what he did doesn't get us off the hook. It just opens the door again for us to be able to move toward God. As a Protestant, I believed in something that was purely substitutionary.
Okay.
So Jesus died on the cross so I wouldn't have to. Therefore, all I have to have is faith, and God takes care of everything else.
Right.
The Catholic view, since it's a representative sacrifice of Christ on the cross, means that there are things I'm going to have to do in this life. If I want to be like Jesus Christ, which is the goal of the Catholic life, then guess what? Suffering and all kinds of other problems of life are going to intrude themselves on me, And prayer is one of the ways in which we can deal with those issues that still remain in life. The movement toward the spiritual life is a growth to be like our suffering Lord. And so once you kind of, it takes a while to shift your mentality to that kind of representative sacrifice of which we are a part. And the reason why Protestants don't have that mentality is because once you get rid of the sacraments, there's no reality to our brotherhood, Si. You know, we talked about brothers and sisters in the faith all the time growing up Protestant, but there was no reality there. As Catholics, we really are brothers and sisters in Christ because of the sacraments.
Okay, so when we come back, I want to ask you about that. As you can hear, the music is playing, but I want to ask you about that. What about the person who says, well, this is just all navel-gazing. You're just in your own head. And what does this have to do with loving your neighbor and being out there in the world? So we'll get to that with our guest, Matthew Leonard, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new resources by Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Christopher Check, and other great Catholic teachers, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Monday on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Matthew Leonard, our guest this hour. We're talking about jumpstarting your prayer life as we proceed through Advent, a very blessed Advent to you and all of yours. Great time to remember that God loves you. I think coming up to Christmas is just a great time to remember that God loves you. And one of the ways to know that love and live in that love is to engage in the Catholic spiritual life, the prayer life. It's funny because when you say all the words like vocal and meditative, contemplative, purgative, illuminative, unitive, all these different fancy words, I just know that in maybe America in particular, but also with the young people today, there's a sense of, I don't want all that religion. I want a relationship with Jesus and keep all that religion for yourself.
I think this is how you get that relationship with Jesus. My movement into the Catholic faith, and primarily my discovery of the depth of the spiritual life of the Catholic faith, took what I had as a Protestant and just put it on steroids, because I moved into a union with him that I didn't have previously. And that's because I got to know him more. Once you move through and you start to begin to understand the stages of the spiritual life and how it is that I can actually conform myself to my beloved, there's a totally different level of relationship that you reach. And I think that the more people start to understand what's possible in this world. And it's not just about stripping everything out. So it's just a kind of a me and Jesus-y thing. And the deeper I go in the spiritual life really just means separation from all these other distractions. Once you realize that everything that God created in this world is really ordered to us moving into a deeper relationship with Him, everything changes, including our relationships with other people.
And I want to remind people that you have this basically very simple piece of writing, 8 ways to jumpstart your prayer life, that's available. It's free to them. Just go to MatthewSLeonard.com and you'll find it on the homepage. You can enter your email and receive it for free in your inbox, or you can just text. Is this still working? The number eight and then jumpstart.
That's correct. You just text 8JUMPSTART to the number 33444, and it comes right on your phone.
And you can get this document, 8 ways to jumpstart your prayer life. Okay, so I am Catholic, I'm comfortable with all this Catholic stuff. I'm not saying I don't want religion. I'm not saying that faith alone. I do want to be like Jesus in this life, and isn't all this stuff a little bit in your own head? Wouldn't it be better for me, instead of all this meditation and contemplation, to get out and maybe serve the poor, maybe, you know, work in a soup kitchen, or maybe, work with the elderly or something? Like, isn't that better?
It's not an either or. The Catholic life is always a both and. And what I would say is that the deeper you're in relationship with our Lord, the more your relationship with other people is going to be Christ-like. And so that's one of the reasons why we focus on prayer. Again, if the basis is to become like Him again, and this is really a big point, Si, because the Catholic mentality is that there's a literal deification process that takes place.
Yes.
When you do sainthood, is really all about becoming divine, not becoming equal to God, but through grace, we become what He is by nature. And He invites us into this divine family. And He wants us to become divine like Him. Well, if our end goal is to become part of the divine family of God, and the sacraments are the way we, and a life of prayer, are how we enter into that relationship with God now, and we're moving toward the divinity. Once you're talking to another Catholic, we're both members of the mystical body of Christ because of the sacraments. It changes my relationships with you, but it also changes our relationship with those people who are not yet in the mystical body of Christ, because we can see them for what they were created to be, which is nothing less than divine. Yeah. In the words of even C.S. Lewis, he talks about being, if you see everybody who's out there as gods and goddesses, small g, it changes everything, because everybody is destined for this kind of deification. And I think it would take your soup kitchen work or whatever else you do and take it to the completely next level.
Indeed. And the funny thing about it is, if you said, who are the people that really imitated Christ, and say in the modern world, and you'd turn to people like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, probably. And you'd say, well, she spent a lot of time getting to know Jesus. She didn't just go out there and assume that she was that she had it within herself. To be truly charitable to other people, she spent a lot of time in prayer getting to know Jesus.
Yeah, she did. In fact, it was several years ago, I was doing a retreat for some of her nuns or novices in the Midwestern province, and they don't miss their time of prayer. I mean, it is set, and you do it no matter what. And that was right from Mother Teresa, because she knew that if you don't make prayer a non-negotiable, it's going to be the first thing that's taken off of your to-do list when things get busy.
Right.
And we all know that things get busy, but you can't grow to know somebody unless you enter into conversation with them. And that's what our prayer is. You're getting to know our Lord.
And so you can become comfortable having that conversation with God. Like any relationship, time spent makes you more comfortable.
Absolutely.
And I know, some people, not myself, some people can start just chattering at them. And not myself. No, I exclude myself entirely from that. I'm a very silent and peaceful person. But what is the role of just being silent in God's presence? What is the role of silence in prayer?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, Mark Twain said if we were supposed to talk more than listen, we'd have two mouths and one ear. And in order to listen and hear the voice of God, we have to have silence. I mean, it's just a necessity. This kind of goes back to that first practical step in entering into meditative prayer. You've got to have a quiet place. You have to have a good time. And one of the reasons why silence is so necessary when it comes to our prayer life is because silence forces us to peer inside. Because when all the distractions are taken away and you're left just with yourself, then suddenly you turn your eyes inward and you start looking at your heart, which is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes people get a little fearful because silence can be scary on a level, you know, because you don't want to go there necessarily. But really, it's an absolute necessity. And I think that also there's an element of sacredness to silence. Now, I love it when there's a silent part of the Mass because it's sacred. You know, when you walk into a new church, a beautiful cathedral in Europe or here in the States somewhere, the immediate reaction that we have is to hush our voices and we become silent. Why? Because we know that there's something holy here. And the only appropriate response to that holiness is a quieting down of ourselves. And that's what's necessary for us to enter into prayer. So silence is a huge part of that.
And you're right. There's a fear of silence. There's also it just seems to me that maybe that fear is intensified, I guess, because we're so well entertained. I mean, I found out I can get Netflix on my phone, and that means that I could literally be anywhere and watch TV. And I've tried not to do that while driving. I find that maybe unhealthy. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, we live in a world of incredible distractions.
It is. And this is one of the hugest things that we have to deal with in the life of prayer, and that is distractions. And it's going to happen one way or the other. It's probably going to happen till the day you die, that you're going to deal with things that are popping in and out of your mind. And I think the biggest piece of advice that we lay on people with regard to distractions comes from St. Teresa of Avila again, where she says, when it happens, and it will, so when it happens, you give your distraction back over to God. Okay. And as soon as you do that, it becomes a prayer in and of itself. So the devil can't win for losing with regard to this. But if you get hung up on it, then it becomes even more of a distraction and it takes you away from God. But Teresa even takes it a little bit next level on this side. And, you know, she'll talk about involuntary and voluntary distraction. And involuntary distraction are those things that we can't control. You know, they just come in and out of our mind and whatever, we give them back to God.
Right.
Voluntary distraction are those things that we impose on ourselves. So maybe you were binging on Netflix last night and you have all of these shows, The Man in the High Castle, whatever, running through your head, right?
Right.
And when you go into prayer the next morning, you can't get this out of your head.
Now, once
you realize that this is a distraction, she says this is a voluntary distraction. And now she says it's actually a venial sin. Why? Because you are willfully doing something that is coming between you and God.
Oh.
I know it sounds a little intense.
It is intense.
And it is.
Yeah.
It is. And so it really makes you take a hard look at, what am I filling my mind with? Because it's kind of hard to enter into a relationship with God and be silent with God when you're picking through the trash in your mind, right?
Right.
And it's hard. Don't get me wrong. But you'll start to realize that really what all of these spiritual giants are talking about is your entire life is supposed to become one giant recollection so that you are in constant communion with God and nothing's distracting you.
Man in the High Castle is a really good show, though. So I'm just saying. Yeah, okay. So, right. So is this connected to, and you might have to answer after, I don't know. Well, is this connected to what St. Paul means when he's talking in the first letter to the Thessalonians about constantly being at prayer?
Yeah, because that sounds so unattainable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How do we do that? You know, St. Gregory, I think it's St. Gregory of Nazianzus says you're supposed to pray more than you breathe or more often than you breathe. Well, how do you get there?
Well, you could breathe less, but that seems like a bad strategy.
And you're on your way to heaven, Lord willing, right?
Yeah.
But you have to set aside, first of all, you have to set aside the finite times of prayer in your schedule. Okay, that's the first step in order to get to what Paul's talking about with constant prayer. Now, what does he mean by constant prayer? because he doesn't mean just walking around muttering to yourself all the time so people are kind of freaked out, you know, by you walking down the street. What he means is that you're in a constant state of prayer, even when you're not engaging in active prayer. And the way that I like to visualize this is think of kind of hot burning coals that are down in your soul, so to speak, in your abdomen, and they're always glowing. And that's your kind of state of constant prayer. And then when you engage in active prayer, your rosary or, you know, your litany, whatever, that's like the breath of the Holy Spirit comes in and flows across those coals and ignites a flame of love in your heart so that you engage more deeply even with our Lord. But you can't get to the point of constant prayer with those glowing coals, so to speak, unless you make an active attempt to regularly engage in meditative and vocal prayer and even contemplative prayer.
Matthew Leonard, I have lived 54 years and I have never heard such a fine explanation of what St. Paul meant. That is, I'm going to get 8 ways to jumpstart your prayer life by going to MatthewSLeonard.com and getting it. And I will recommend to the reader also his books, Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic, and Prayer Works. That's got an exclamation point in it, so you definitely want to get that book. Prayer Works, Getting a Grip on Catholic Spirituality. We have to take a quick break, but we're going to continue our conversation about jumpstarting your prayer life with Matthew Leonard when we come back. Right now, I want to let you know we've got 2 great specials running. All our digital products, ebooks, magazines, and MP3s are 50% off. What? Yeah, that's right. Ebooks, e-magazines, and MP3s are 50% off. And you can also save money on hundreds of other items in our shop. You just enter the promo code CALIVE18 when you check out. CALIVE18 and get all kinds of savings at shop.catholic.com.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Yeah, at first I love the show, but I just wanted to call to encourage that previous caller who had called about the Latin Mass and just encourage him to keep giving it a try and especially try to meet some folks outdoors and his wife meet some people, and that does make that experience so much better. And thank you for your historical background, and it was a good interpretation of the history.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A very blessed Advent to you and all of yours. And Christmas is getting closer and closer. I like Christmas. I really like Christmas, and I'm happy it's coming. And I'm officially in the Christmas spirit. It happened. I know exactly when it happened. It happened at Mass last Sunday when they sang O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And I am ready now. Do you ever get that, Matthew, where you're like, boom, it just happened. I'm in the spirit now. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, you know, it always happens for me when we're praying the Advent wreath with my kids at the beginning of Advent. We light the first candle and we gather around, we dim the lights, and we sing. And that's when Advent really kicks in for me.
It's funny. It's these things that are traditional. Maybe it's probably not in your case. You didn't do the Advent wreath as a child, did you?
No, I did not.
No, but there's these certain things. The other song that will get me so much is O Come All Ye Faithful. I don't care if it's in Latin or English. Either way, that song gets me. Because that's kind of what we're talking about. O Come, let us adore Him. I mean, that's what we are made for. And He's worthy of it. So beautiful and good and true and perfect is He. But here's the deal. I know people will want to know this. All right, so we're talking about prayer. We're talking about jumpstarting your prayer life. What about praying for stuff? I mean, can I really get God to do stuff for me by praying?
yeah, this is one of the big topics. You know, God can't be manipulated. And growing up as a pastor's kid, there was this verse that was on the emblazoned on the side wall. I'll never forget, because you know you're always looking for something to distract you when you're a kid in 45 minute long sermons. And so it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So God is unchanging, right? He's unchangeable. And so we don't manipulate him or change him by asking things of him in prayer. And so people are like, well, why is it that we pray, right? Well, we pray because prayer is what changes us. You know, earlier we were discussing how it is that we become more like God in prayer. And that's the kind of goal. So prayer conforms us to the image and likeness of God. And as we get closer to God, we hear him more. We want the things that he wants for us and of us more. And we start to pray for the very things that he wants. And so if you're really looking to get the right answer in prayer and you want to get everything that you ask for in prayer, then the closer you get to God, you're going to be praying for the things that he wants. And you're going to get it every time. But we don't change him. It changes us.
I see. So you're not a prosperity gospel guy.
Not anymore.
Oh, you were at one time.
I went to Oral Roberts University my freshman year of college. So, oh. Yeah, I was in it.
Yeah.
Name it and claim it.
Yeah. Also called Word of Faith. That's a pretty dangerous way of thinking about prayer, actually. I've come to think that of the modern kind of contemporary threats to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that prosperity gospel is up there among them.
It is. You know, it goes kind of back to what we were talking about with our view of salvation and the representative sacrificial view that we have of Christ on the cross as Catholics. It makes sense. If you view Christ as just doing something that substitutes for you and gets you off the hook, and all Jesus wants for you is happiness and to get rich here on earth, what do you do when it doesn't work out that way? Because suffering is involved in this life. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Protestant or a Martian. You're going to suffer. And so the prosperity gospel eventually fails. And one of the things that kind of makes me angry as I reflect back on that, Cy, is that when you suffered in your life, what we were told was, oh, you don't have enough faith.
Yeah, right.
And that's just, it destroys people. And it's just not the right way to move toward God. It's certainly not a loving father-son relationship or father-daughter relationship.
No, indeed. Take that, Kenneth Copeland. sorry, didn't mean to personalize it. But you're right. I think that's one of the great consequences of this faulty way of understanding prayer, this name it and claim it thing, is that even people who want very much to be in a relationship of love with Jesus can be driven away and become just utterly disillusioned, because that doesn't work. That's not how this whole thing works. And driving people away from Jesus is one of the worst things you can do.
No, and I think that when you have the name it, claim it mentality, you're looking at Jesus constantly as a vending machine where I can get something from him.
Yeah.
And it's this kind of contractual relationship. I do these things and I'm going to get earthly blessing. And that's not what Christ calls us to. And you can see that in the Old Testament, the Israelites, that God was constantly kind of giving them things and giving them little pieces of candy, so to speak, and blessing them in that way. But that was all meant to lead to something else. And it was meant for their hearts to be softened so they become more like him. And enter into relationship with him.
Right. And it's funny that you say that, though, about treating Christ as a vending machine, because that's what many people will say about us Catholics and the sacraments. So what do you say about the relationship between prayer and the Catholic sacraments or the Christian sacraments?
Well, it's obviously integral. There's enough grace in one consecrated host to save the whole world, right? When the priest raises, when he lifts that host, there's enough there for all of us to get to heaven. The only thing stopping it is us, right? And prayer is what gets the us out of the way.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Prayer kind of removes the obstacles of that sanctifying grace to have its maximum impact on our lives. It greases the skids, so to speak. So then that all of that grace that's there can begin to transform my life and I can become like Jesus Christ. That's why a sacramental life, you can go to Mass every day, Cy. Every stinking day. And if you don't have a deep life of prayer, it's hardly going to do you any good. You have to have both of them.
And I guess that's because of the goodness of God in a way. I mean, he has arranged it such that he's not forcing himself on us. We have to do those things that welcome him in. I mean, he even says that he stands at the door of our heart constantly knocking.
Yeah, obviously everything that we do is by the grace of God. Even the things that we do that are sinful are by the grace of God. He allows them to happen, which is really kind of trippy to think about.
Yeah.
But he allows us to do those things because he respects our freedom. And what he wants us to do is in our freedom to choose him. And prayer, and obviously the sacraments, that's how we choose him, and that's how we move into that relationship with him.
Well, you talked about praying the rosary, and I certainly don't want to discourage anyone from praying the rosary. You should pray the rosary. It's so good for you, and it's so good for the world, and brings you closer to your mother, given to you by Christ. But it's not liturgy. So is there a connection between prayer and liturgy? How should we think about that connection?
Yeah, there's a deep connection here. Obviously, the Mass is broken down into two different parts. You have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And what are we doing in the liturgy of the Word but reflecting on and pondering the words of God in sacred scripture? And it's a kind of a lectio divina, kind of a divine reading as we meditate on the words of scripture that are being read. Why do we do that first? Well, because it prepares us to receive God. It kind of tills the soil of our hearts so that the grace that is present in the Eucharist has its maximum impact upon us when we actually literally ingest the very word of God into our life that we just heard and meditated on. And then what's supposed to happen is that reception of the Eucharist, then as we go back and we kneel down, is supposed to lead us to an even deeper meditation and contemplation on the mysteries of God as he's literally seeping into the marrow of our being.
Wow. You make it attractive. Before we end, I want to Matthew Leonard is our guest, and Matthew is the author of a couple of very fine books. One of them, Louder Than Words. I forgot that one. Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic, and Prayer Works! Getting a Grip on Catholic Spirituality. You can find out all about him at MatthewSLeonard.com. But at a certain point earlier, you mentioned the three stages of the spiritual life. Purgative, illuminative, and unitive. You can refresh us on what you said about purgative and illuminative, but I don't believe you said anything about unitive, and I don't want to leave without having gone through all three of the stages of the spiritual life.
Yeah, here's the quick definition of all three, and that explains the unitive. So the purgative way is where we purge ourselves of vices. You get rid of the sin in your life because you can't get healthy until you get rid of the stuff that's bogging you down. And then you transition into the illuminative, which is really about being illuminated by the light and the love of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the light of the world, right? So we begin to conform ourselves more and more to him in this second stage of the spiritual life, where we're falling more in love with Jesus Christ. That then prepares us for our entry into the unitive stage. And it's in the unitive stage that we are living life to the fullest, so to speak, where we are full to the brim of the Holy Spirit. And you get to the point in life where your relationship with God is so deep that you know that no matter what happens in your life, you are safe and secure as a child of God. Your identity is secure in him, and you're beginning to just move into that divine life that God is waiting for you in its fullness once you cross over to the other side and we're actually joined to God in heaven. And, you know, it's interesting, Si, because we were talking about purgatory previously, that the transition, there are transitions between these stages. So John of the Cross will talk about how in the transition from the first, between the first and the second, the purgative to the illuminative is called the night of sense. God starts to pull back from you a little bit. So maybe you experience some dryness in prayer at that point in time. And he's teaching you to seek him for his own sake. And then the transition into the unitive stage, that's the dark night of the soul. And that's purgatory on earth, where we are united to the cross of Christ. And if you do it now, Catholics, you won't have to do it later.
Matthew Leonard, thank you so much for taking this time here in Advent with us to talk about jumpstarting our prayer life. Hey, you get that document, 8 Ways to Jumpstart Your Prayer Life. Just go to MatthewSLeonard.com. You'll find it on the homepage. Matthew Leonard, thank you very, very much.
Oh, it was my pleasure being with you guys. Thank you.
And you can keep track of what Matthew is up to at The Art of Catholic, his iTunes podcast. You can get his books, Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic, and Prayer Works, Getting a Grip on Catholic Spirituality. Up next, Jimmy Akin, Weird Questions, as we close out our work week on Catholic Answers Live.